is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23.
We want to believe that we are self-made men and women, and stopping to ask for help isn't our way of doing things so oftentimes. In fact, learning to pray is sort of like learning how to drive a car. Some of you might recall when you first learned how to drive, it just didn't all come naturally to you. This past summer, we were out in Colorado for a few days, and I remembered as I was there how that on those country roads, those dirt roads, is where I first learned how to drive a car. And my daughter had been reminding me about the fact that she'd become a teenager now, and she had been reminding me about the fact she was ready for some responsibility. And I thought, you know, this might be a chance to just let her try to drive for a few minutes. And so I let her have the steering wheel, let her sit in that driver's seat and to take that power steering. And I want you to know we had some of the scariest moments of our life as a family for about the next 2 or 3 minutes. I said, put the foot on the brake. She'd barely touch it. I said, a little harder. She slammed our faces into the windows and from side to side. And see, the point is that driving for her just really didn't come natural, just like it doesn't come natural for most of us when we're first learning how to drive. And most people today, if they were honest about it, would have to say that when they first started approaching God in prayer, they felt a little bit uncomfortable with that too. It just wasn't a natural, normal part of their lives. And in fact, it's true today that until we learn how to really pray, we're not going to get very far in our spiritual lives, just like until we learn how to drive, we don't get very far on the roads of this life, physically speaking. And so as we think about approaching God, we need to recognize some very basic facts. For some people, approaching God or the Bible or even being in a Bible-preaching church, it feels somewhat unnatural. Some people say that they don't feel worthy to approach God, or they feel that maybe God is too busy keeping this cosmos in order to really stop and care about them or be interested in what they have to say. But the truth of the matter is that God has created us for the purpose of fellowshipping with Him. God is very interested in having fellowship with us, and it is His will that we would approach Him and that we would spend time with Him in prayer and in fellowship. Now, the book of Hebrews is a book that was written primarily to those Hebrew Christians who had put faith in Jesus Christ and were now coming out of Judaism and coming into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had been saved the Bible way. They had been saved through Christ. But they are now being taught about all that was given to them when they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look into the book of Hebrews, we see that Jesus Christ came to take away the old way of approaching God and to establish a new way for approaching God. By the way, the new way that Jesus Christ established, is still working today some 2,000 years later. And that's pretty exciting when you think about the fact that most things this world has to offer don't last for 2 days. But there was a new way to approach God that was offered 2,000 years ago, and that new way is still working 2,000 years later. Amen. Now to understand that, let's look at verse number 9 of Hebrews chapter 10, and let's just get a little background on this today. The Bible says, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." Some of you have heard of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And this is a reference here to the New Way or the New Testament or the second way. Verse 10, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man," speaking of Christ, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." You see, the old way required the blood shed of animals and sacrifices being made in the Old Testament tabernacle and temple. But the new way is this. Jesus Christ, once and for all, offered himself on Calvary's tree and sat down at the right hand of God the Father forever. And so we understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, and thus the new covenant or the New Testament era began. And so it is based upon the offering of the cross of Calvary that this new way of approaching God is afforded to men and women today. Now notice, if you would, then in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Whenever we see the word therefore as we study the Bible, we always look to see what it's there for. Amen? And the word therefore is a reference back to the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross and the fact that He established the new covenant. And so this morning, as we look at the ways to approach God, I want to give to you first of all this morning the fact that we are to come boldly through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we approach God, the Bible says we are to come boldly through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Would you take note of the term boldness to enter into the holiest? Now, in the Old Testament times, as we study the Old Testament, it is very clear that no one ever dared to enter into the Holy of Holies. No one ever dared get near the Ark of the Covenant or the mercy seat. In fact, it was on one day of the year called the Day of Atonement that the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. And the high priest would go there to make the sprinkling of the blood on the mercy seat on the Day of Atonement, which was for the covering of the sins of Israel. Now, in fact, men and women were so concerned about ever approaching that place that they would take a rope and tie it to the ankle of the high priest so that when he went into the Holy of Holies, should he ever die, they would be able to pull him out. No one would go into that sacred place. Now, can you imagine for these Jewish Christians, these who had recently converted to Christ and turned away from Judaism, can you imagine when the author of Hebrews tells them, now I want you to have boldness to enter into the holiest of holies by a new and living way? This was revolutionary, to say the least. This was totally new, this new covenant, this new way of approaching God. We know as we study the Old Testament that there was a veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. There was a veil separating men from the Holy of Holies. We know that this veil represented a barrier between the people and God. And so when Paul writes to them in the book of Hebrews and tells them to enter boldly, it is entirely a new concept. And someone might ask the question, on what basis would they enter boldly into such a close communion with God? On what grounds do they assert the right to come so boldly, so personally to God in prayer? And the Bible is very clear in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, notice please, by the blood of Jesus. Or because of, or through the blood of Jesus. Now, as the Bible records, Jesus Christ was God incarnate. John chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So Jesus Christ was God come down in the flesh. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, when His flesh was torn, when His blood was shed for all of our sins, the Bible records that at the moment of His death, that the veil temple or the temple veil was rent from top to bottom, that veil was torn in two. That which separated man from the Holy of Holies, from the special place of prayer, from the place of the Shekinah glory of God, was torn in two. In fact, the Bible says in Mark 14:37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. It was as though the Heavenly Father was saying, no longer is the old way necessary. No longer must men come through the sacrificial system and through the high priest such as Aaron and others. Now the Father says, Jesus Christ has shed His blood on Calvary's tree, and the veil was torn in half from top to bottom, signifying that now man could approach God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see it is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Literally, my friends, Jesus Christ opens up the heavenly sanctuary of prayer and allows us the opportunity to come in faith believing to the Heavenly Father. There is no longer a veil of separation. Now we have access to God through Jesus Christ. And once again in verse 19, it is by the blood of Jesus. Someone says again, how can you know that you can approach God, and what makes you any better, and what makes you Baptist better or this group better? And there is no group that is any better. It is only the one who comes to Jesus Christ who can approach God, the Heavenly Father. How do we approach God? It is not through this church that we approach God. It is not through this pastor that you approach God. I am happy to pray with you, but my prayers are no more efficacious than your prayers would be, as you are right with God and as I am right with God. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, but I have no direct link that you do not have today. Understand with me today, we do not have access to God through Mary today or through the saints today. Now, I do not say that this morning to hurt anyone's feelings, but around here, our sole authority for faith and practice is the Bible, and you'll never one time find in the Bible where people prayed through any medium or any person other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we approach God? We approach God boldly, not because we're Baptists, not because we're good people, but because Jesus Christ shed His blood on Calvary's tree and made a way for us to approach God, the Heavenly Father. And so Jesus opened the heavenly sanctuary, and it is through His blood that we have now the opportunity to enter boldly into the throne of God. I remember years ago driving on a country road with our family, just sort of a small highway. And as we were driving on that little highway, all of a sudden I looked ahead and there was a huge amount of boulders and sand and gravel, and a tremendous landslide had come down. And we were glad it didn't come down while we were in its path. But nevertheless, it was right in front of us, blocking that entire road. We looked behind us. We had already been coming through some road construction. We looked behind us, and there was a lot of traffic and machinery behind us. And so we sat there for quite some time. There was really no way to get out. There was no way to get through the problem in front of us. And after a while, there came some big tractor trailers, and on the back of them, they had some big Caterpillar tractors. And we began to watch as those D8 cats got off the back of those tractor trailers, and they began to push those rocks. I mean, rocks as big as many people's homes and huge, weighing tons and tons. And those cats began to push those rocks. They began to push them down into the river down below. And after about 15 or 20 minutes, they had literally cleared the way so that we could go on through. And I want you to stop and think about that for just a moment. Because when we stop and think about the fact that all of us, as sinners, were separated from God, and there was a veil that said we could not approach God, but thank God someone stronger than us, someone more perfect than us, someone who is tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, by the name of Jesus Christ, came and He made a way so that we could go through and have fellowship with God. How do we approach God? We approach God boldly because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon once said, holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. Someone might say, well, if I'm a real good person, then I can approach God. But the Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You see, we are not going to approach God on our own merit. It is only on the merit of Jesus Christ that you will ever be saved or that you will ever approach God in prayer. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ alone as your Savior, we would urge you to do that today. And if you have already accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then it is upon that fact that you can enter boldly unto the throne of God in prayer. So how do we approach God this month? Well, we approach God based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, and we approach Him boldly because though God is not pleased with my sin, He is pleased with the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, which forgives us all of our sin. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Notice, if you would, secondly, we are to come personally to God in prayer. The Bible says in verse number 21, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now, I want you to see how personal this matter of approaching God really is. It is so important that God has made a special way for us to approach Him. And the Bible says in verse 21 that we have what is called here an high priest over the house of God, the term house of God referring to the church or to the body of Christ. And over the body of Christ, we have an high priest. Someone says, who's in charge of this here church here? Jesus. Well, who owns it? Jesus. He's the high priest. He's over the church. And we can come to God through our high priest, Jesus Christ, who is with us and available for us every single moment of every single day. Turn back in your Bible a couple of pages to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. And I want to familiarize you with this terminology, our high priest. And I want you to understand today the doctrine here concerning the fact that Jesus Christ is our high priest. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Thank God today we do not pray to some stone God. We do not pray to some church or to some man somewhere, but we are praying to a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's lost loved ones here on this earth. He knew what that was about. He has suffered physical pain. He has suffered trials. And so when we pray to Him, He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. There you have a personal approach to God. Notice the Bible says in verse 16 of Hebrews 4, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, don't raise your hands, but how many of you recognize that all of us today need grace to help in time of need? Every one of us need the help of God. Every one of us need divine intervention in this life. And it is going to come as we approach God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so thank God that we can come personally through the great high priest. This past year I was preaching down in Costa Rica. Had the joy of speaking there to a large gathering of Baptist missionaries and then going on into some of the churches there and meeting some of the national pastors and preaching in those churches. And one day as we had a little free time in the afternoon, one of the missionaries said to me, he said, "Brother Chapel," he said, "I'd like to take you for just a little trip. And we'd like to take you over to the Basilica here in Costa Rica. It was called Catargo." He said, "I think you ought to see it." He said, "You know, back in the States, there's a great movement to get all the groups together and sort of a condoning of all the different doctrinal persuasions and gathering them together." But he said, "You know, Brother Chapel, it's quite obvious if you just study it out that there are teachings going on here in this church that are not found in the Bible." I said, "All right, I'll be glad to go with you and see what you would like to show me." We went to the largest Catholic church there in Costa Rica. And I began to see some things that I never really had seen before. You know, I'm a Baptist boy. I was Baptist born and Baptist bred. And when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Amen. I'm a Baptist. That's just the way it was. But we walked into that basilica. And I began to notice the people as they crawled up and down the stairs and literally several hundred feet on their knees, asking, begging forgiveness for sin and doing penance for their sin. And I began to notice the difference right away. I saw a casket with Jesus Christ inside the casket, filled with blood and gore still inside of a casket and other forms of idolatry. Then I saw something that I'd never seen before. I saw little booths. And the missionary said, "These are the confessional booths." And on the booths, there was some writing. I said, "What does that say?" He said, "That tells you what hours of the day you can come to confess your sin." I said, "All right, I understand that now." We went around back behind the basilica, and there was a fountain of water flowing. And there were people bathing in that water, and there were people putting that water in jugs, and there were people drinking the water as well. And the story is told that the Virgin Mary had appeared at this very spot hundreds of years ago and had sanctified the rocks that the water flowed by. And so anyone that drank the water, touched it, or got into the water would have healing or the forgiveness of sin. And there was a little box there too. And there were people that were very, very impoverished, placing large amounts of money in that box as they washed in the water, hoping that somehow they might have healing or the forgiveness of their sin. And I began to think about that. And I began to think, you know, thank God that I have a high priest that is there 24 hours a day. I don't have to go to him in a little box between 7 and 8 or 5 and 6. I can go to him any time of day. Why? Because we have a great high priest who is over the house of God. He is there always for all of his children to come directly to him, to confess to him, to pray to him, to ask of him, and thank God for the great high priest. And by the way, it's free of charge too. We do not approach him and have to pay him to get some prayer request answered. He paid the price with his very blood. And so when we come to him, we come personally because he is always there. And the Bible says in verse number 22, we are to come to him with a pure heart. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. The Bible says in James 1:6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God's word says when we approach the Lord, we are to come to him with a true heart. Let me ask you something. When we come to God and there is sin in our lives and we know we're not going to let go of it, and we know there's things in our closet at home and in our thought patterns and in our relationships that are wrong, and we come to him and say, Lord, we love you and we want help from you. Do you think God sees through that? The answer is yes. And so the Bible says we have access to God through Christ. But when we come to God, we're to come with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And the Bible says having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. We're to have our hearts prepared and ready. Now what does that mean, our hearts sprinkled and our bodies washed? Well, in Exodus chapter 30, as you study out the various attributes and characteristics of the high priest, the Bible tells us that Aaron, the high priest, before he would go into that holy place, he would go to the laver and he would wash his hands and he would wash his feet. And on one occasion, the Bible indicates his entire body was washed. Why? Because he did not want to go into the Holy of Holies with dirt. He wanted to be clean and ready to meet with God. And so symbolically, the Bible is telling us in verse number 22 that we are to have our hearts and our lives sprinkled and ready and clean for God. You say, how does that happen? It happens by the confession of sin. 1 John 1:9, that if we'll confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
The series Approaching God. The title of this message is Approaching God Boldly, and the text is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23.
We know as we study the Old Testament that there was a veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. There was a veil separating men from the Holy of Holies. We know that this veil represented a barrier between the people and God. And so when Paul writes to them in the book of Hebrews and tells them to enter boldly, it is entirely a new concept. And someone might ask the question, on what basis would they enter boldly into such a close communion with God? On what grounds do they assert the right to come so boldly, so personally to God in prayer? And the Bible is very clear in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, notice please, by the blood of Jesus. Or because of or through the blood of Jesus. Now, as the Bible records, Jesus Christ was God incarnate. John chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So Jesus Christ was God come down in the flesh. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, when His flesh was torn, when His blood was shed for all of our sins, the Bible records that at the moment of His death, that the veil temple or the temple veil was rent from top to bottom, that veil was torn in two. That which separated man from the Holy of Holies, from the special place of prayer, from the place of the Shekinah glory of God, was torn in two. In fact, the Bible says in Mark 14:37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. It was as though the Heavenly Father was saying, no longer is the old way necessary. No longer must men come through the sacrificial system and through the high priest such as Aaron and others. Now the Father says, Jesus Christ has shed His blood on Calvary's tree, and the veil was torn in half from top to bottom, signifying that now man could approach God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see it is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Literally, my friends, Jesus Christ opens up the heavenly sanctuary of prayer and allows us the opportunity to come in faith believing to the Heavenly Father. There is no longer a veil of separation. Now we have access to God through Jesus Christ. And once again in verse 19, it is by the blood of Jesus. Someone says again, how can you know that you can approach God, and what makes you any better, and what makes you Baptist better or this group better? And there is no group that is any better. It is only the one who comes to Jesus Christ who can approach God, the Heavenly Father. How do we approach God? It is not through this church that we approach God. It is not through this pastor that you approach God. I am happy to pray with you, but my prayers are no more efficacious than your prayers would be, as you are right with God and as I am right with God. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, but I have no direct link that you do not have today. Understand with me today, we do not have access to God through Mary today or through the saints today. Now, I do not say that this morning to hurt anyone's feelings, but around here, our sole authority for faith and practice is the Bible, and you'll never one time find in the Bible where people prayed through any medium or any person other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we approach God? We approach God boldly, not because we're Baptists, not because we're good people, but because Jesus Christ shed His blood on Calvary's tree and made a way for us to approach God, the Heavenly Father. And so Jesus opened the heavenly sanctuary, and it is through His blood that we have now the opportunity to enter boldly into the throne of God. I remember years ago driving on a country road with our family, just sort of a small highway. And as we were driving on that little highway, all of a sudden I looked ahead and there was a huge amount of boulders and sand and gravel, and a tremendous landslide had come down. And we were glad it didn't come down while we were in its path. But nevertheless, it was right in front of us, blocking that entire road. We looked behind us. We had already been coming through some road construction. We looked behind us, and there was a lot of traffic and machinery behind us. And so we sat there for quite some time. There was really no way to get out. There was no way to get through the problem in front of us. And after a while, there came some big tractor trailers, and on the back of them, they had some big Caterpillar tractors. And we began to watch as those D8 cats got off the back of those tractor trailers, and they began to push those rocks. I mean, rocks as big as many people's homes and huge, weighing tons and tons. And those cats began to push those rocks. They began to push them down into the river down below. And after about 15 or 20 minutes, they had literally cleared the way so that we could go on through. And I want you to stop and think about that for just a moment. Because when we stop and think about the fact that all of us, as sinners, were separated from God, and there was a veil that said we could not approach God, but thank God someone stronger than us, someone more perfect than us, someone who is tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, by the name of Jesus Christ, came and He made a way so that we could go through and have fellowship with God. How do we approach God? We approach God boldly because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon once said, "Holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness." Someone might say, well, if I'm a real good person, then I can approach God. But the Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You see, we are not going to approach God on our own merit. It is only on the merit of Jesus Christ that you will ever be saved or that you will ever approach God in prayer. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ alone as your Savior, we would urge you to do that today. And if you have already accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then it is upon that fact that you can enter boldly unto the throne of God in prayer. So how do we approach God this month? Well, we approach God based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, and we approach Him boldly because though God is not pleased with my sin, He is pleased with the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, which forgives us all of our sin. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Notice, if you would, secondly, we are to come personally to God in prayer. The Bible says in verse number 21, "And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Now I want you to see how personal this matter of approaching God really is. It is so important that God has made a special way for us to approach Him. And the Bible says in verse 21 that we have what is called here an high priest over the house of God, the term house of God referring to the church or to the body of Christ. And over the body of Christ, we have an high priest. Someone says, who's in charge of this here church here? Jesus. Well, who owns it? Jesus. He's the high priest. He's over the church. And we can come to God through our high priest, Jesus Christ, who is with us and available for us every single moment of every single day. Turn back in your Bible a couple of pages to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. And I want to familiarize you with this terminology, our high priest. And I want you to understand today the doctrine here concerning the fact that Jesus Christ is our high priest. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Thank God today we do not pray to some stone God. We do not pray to some church or to some man somewhere, but we are praying to a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's lost loved ones here on this earth. He knew what that was about. He has suffered physical pain. He has suffered trials. And so when we pray to Him, He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. There you have a personal approach to God. Notice the Bible says in verse 16 of Hebrews 4, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now don't raise your hands, but how many of you recognize that all of us today need grace to help in time of need? Every one of us need the help of God. Every one of us need divine intervention in this life. And it is going to come as we approach God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so thank God that we can come personally through the great high priest. This past year I was preaching down in Costa Rica, had the joy of speaking there to a large gathering of Baptist missionaries, and then going on into some of the churches there and meeting some of the national pastors and preaching in those churches. And one day as we had a little free time in the afternoon, one of the missionaries said to me, he said, "Brother Chapel," he said, "I'd like to take you for just a little trip. And we'd like to take you over to the Basilica here in Costa Rica. It was called Catargo." He said, "I think you ought to see it." He said, "You know, back in the States, there's a great movement to get all the groups together and sort of a condoning of all the different doctrinal persuasions and gathering them together. But," he said, "you know, Brother Chapel, it's quite obvious if you just study it out that there are teachings going on here in this church that are not found in the Bible." I said, "All right, I'll be glad to go with you and see what you would like to show me." We went to the largest Catholic church there in Costa Rica, and I began to see some things that I never really had seen before. You know, I'm a Baptist boy. I was Baptist born and Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Amen? I'm a Baptist. That's just the way it was. But we walked into that basilica, and I began to notice the people as they crawled up and down the stairs and literally several hundred feet on their knees, asking, begging forgiveness for sin and doing penance for their sin. And I began to notice the difference right away. I saw a casket with Jesus Christ inside the casket, filled with blood and gore still inside of a casket and other forms of idolatry. Then I saw something that I'd never seen before. I saw little booths. And the missionary said, "These are the confessional booths." And on the booths, there was some writing. I said, "What does that say?" He said, "That tells you what hours of the day you can come to confess your sin." I said, "All right, I understand that now." We went around back behind the basilica, and there was a fountain of water flowing. And there were people bathing in that water, and there were people putting that water in jugs, and there were people drinking the water as well. And the story is told that the Virgin Mary had appeared at this very spot hundreds of years ago and had sanctified the rocks that the water flowed by. And so anyone that drank the water, touched it, or got into the water would have healing or the forgiveness of sin. And there was a little box there too. And there were people that were very, very impoverished placing large amounts of money in that box as they washed in the water, hoping that somehow they might have healing or the forgiveness of their sin. And I began to think about that. And I began to think, you know, thank God that I have a high priest that is there 24 hours a day. I don't have to go to him in a little box between 7 and 8 or 5 and 6. I can go to him any time of day. Why? Because we have a great high priest who is over the house of God. He is there always for all of his children to come directly to him, to confess to him, to pray to him, to ask of him, and thank God for the great high priest. And by the way, it's free of charge too. We do not approach him and have to pay him to get some prayer request answered. He paid the price with his very blood. And so when we come to him, we come personally because he is always there. And the Bible says in verse number 22, we are to come to him with a pure heart. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. The Bible says in James 1:6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God's Word says when we approach the Lord, we are to come to him with a true heart. Let me ask you something. When we come to God and there is sin in our lives and we know we're not going to let go of it, and we know there's things in our closet at home and in our thought patterns and in our relationships that are wrong, and we come to him and say, Lord, we love you and we want help from you. Do you think God sees through that? The answer is yes. And so the Bible says we have access to God through Christ. But when we come to God, we're to come with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And the Bible says having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. We're to have our hearts prepared and ready. Now what does that mean, our hearts sprinkled and our bodies washed? Well, in Exodus chapter 30, as you study out the various attributes and characteristics of the high priest, the Bible tells us that Aaron, the high priest, before he would go into that holy place, he would go to the laver and he would wash his hands and he would wash his feet. And on one occasion, the Bible indicates his entire body was washed. Why? because he did not want to go into the Holy of Holies with dirt. He wanted to be clean and ready to meet with God. And so symbolically, the Bible is telling us in verse number 22 that we are to have our hearts and our lives sprinkled and ready and clean for God. You say, how does that happen? It happens by the confession of sin. 1 John 1:9, that if we'll confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I come to the Father, I come through the name of Jesus Christ. And when I come to the Father, I'm to come with a true heart, not a heart filled with sin and inconsistency and wickedness and immorality, but a heart that confesses sin and says, Lord, I have sinned. I know who I am. I know how holy you are. And I come to you on the merit of Jesus Christ, asking you to forgive me, asking you to use me, and asking for your help in the matters of my life. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I believe that God is very interested in the condition of our heart. He knows this morning who's half-hearted. He knows this morning who's just buying time in church. He knows this morning who really wants to seek God and who really wants help. And he sees the heart that sincerely wants help, and he delights in blessing the life and the person of someone who is true in their heart before him. And so how do we approach God? We approach God boldly because of Jesus Christ. We approach God personally because Jesus Christ is always there as our high priest, as our mediator between God and man. And thirdly, we approach God faithfully. We must approach God this month faithfully. The Bible says in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, there were many Jews who had accepted Christ as Savior. They had taken that profession of a Christian. They gladly wore the name Christian. But it was not popular in their society, and it was not popular with their family members. And so they were being pulled back into Judaism. And so the author of Hebrews is telling them, now be faithful to hold on to your profession. Hold fast to your profession. By the way, he does not tell them to hold on to their faith. I hope you have grown in the Word to know that once you're saved, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to hold on to that for you. The Bible is very clear in verse 23, for he is faithful that promised. And Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, for I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Listen, if you had to keep yourself saved, you'd be in big trouble and I would be in big trouble. But thank God Jesus Christ is holding our souls and keeping that faith that we have placed in him on the day of our salvation. But we must hold our profession. We must be proud and thankful for our salvation and willing to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come faithfully holding fast the profession of our faith without wavering. They that come to him must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And so we come without wavering. Thank God that we can come, and when we come to him and come without wavering, he is pleased at answering the prayers of those who are not ashamed of him. Would you turn in your Bible this morning to Matthew chapter 7? And let me share with you something about the nature of God and his desire for us to approach him and his desire to answer our prayers. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that asketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? That we have a heavenly Father who desires for all of us to approach him, who delights when we have a pure heart and a desire to know him and commune with him. And as we approach God, he desires then to commune back with us and to answer our prayers and to give us the wisdom that we so desperately need in order to live the lives that we're living today. this past week, I was in my office and having an appointment. I was seated at my desk and some folks were there and I was trying to be a help and a blessing. And as I was sharing with them some Bible principles, I noticed my son, Larry, as he came to the door. My door has sort of windows in it and so forth. And they call that a French door, I guess. And he was standing there looking in. And Larry, after a while, a few minutes later, he'd come back and he'd wave at me. And I kind of tried to kind of look away and tell him to leave. And I tried to look more back to the appointment and so forth and talk to the folks. A minute later, he'd come back and kind of look at me like he needed something, you know, and wave at me some more. So finally, after a while, I told the folks, I said, excuse me, just one second. And I went and I opened the door and said, what do you... He walked right in the office. He said, how you doing to the folks? He walked around by the drawer where I keep my ink pens where sometimes there's money. If you ever break in, now you know where it is. There's also some McDonald's and In-N-Out Burger gift certificates underneath my pens too. And Larry knows that. He walked right in. He said, Dad, I needed some money from you. That's why I'm here. I need some money from you. Got a football game. Got to have something to eat tonight. Put his hand out. I said, all right, son. I took out some money. I didn't have any in the drawer at that time. Took out a few bucks from my pocket. Gave it to him. He looked at me like, got him a little more. Gave it to him. Said, man. He just walked right in there like that. You have an appointment. You got things going on. Just walked in boldly like that. Yes, he did. You know why? He's my son. He's my son. And guess what? I let him do it. You know why? He's my son. And guess what? He got some money out of me. You know why? He's my son. Say, what's the point? The point is this. If I, as a man on this earth, and the best that I can offer in God's eyes is evil compared to his goodness and holiness, if I want to do that for my son, how much more for those of you who are saved this morning do you think God wants to do for you? And the Bible is very clear that he wants to do great things for you and for me. And all of those who have had a time in their life when they put their faith in Jesus Christ and they say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I confess that to you. And now I turn to you, Lord, and ask you to come into my life and save me. All of those who are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ are the sons and daughters of God and have the right through Jesus Christ to come boldly into the Holy of Holies and say, Lord, this is what I need today. I come to you. I worship you. I confess my sin to you. Lord, I need your help with this matter. And God says, approach me. I'm approachable. God says, come boldly to me. God says, come personally to me. God says, come faithfully to me. I want to have communion with you and fellowship and entering into the Holy of Holies and communing with God and fellowshipping with him in an intimate and a personal and a powerful way.